Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, y'all. It's Double G, and I wanted to let folks know that we have a YouTube channel. Head over to the BSPN YouTube channel at youtube.com/@BSPN. We record just about all of our shows for video and also have tons of clips and shorts. Please give us a subscribe, and we'll see you around the bay.
Bedrosian throws to Sandberg, and the pitch is grounded to second base. Thompson has it, throws to first. It's over. 27 years of waiting have come to an end. The Giants have won the pennant.
Welcome back to Thompson to Clark. Brad, there have been baseball games played.
Lots of them. The Cubs are 5-0. That's how many games have been played.
The Giants had a split squad today. One of those ended up in a tie, as Cactus League games often can do. And then they lost the other one. So they did take their first loss of the Cactus League season. And over the weekend, they went 2-0. And like we've mentioned before, some of the worst teams in Giants history have actually been good in spring training. So it doesn't really say much, but you get to see some new faces and some old faces and folks that you're hoping will do well. And I think probably the one that got the most visibility out there was Bryce Eldridge. But before we even get there, I think we have to hear from the diabolical Bismarcky. Bryce Eldridge, he hit a home run. It was like a giant home, like 450 foot shot. I know that. I also read that like in his two ABs, he got like down 0-2 on both of them. Yeah, and like that's the thing is, where I want to be so excited about him, but at the same time, I'm like, every major league pitcher is going to try and figure out what the weakness is in his strike zone because he's so tall. And but it's spring, you get excited, and you could like there will be pieces written about whether or not he should make the team out of spring. Like, we'll see all of those things, but you know,
I've already read two.
Get excited. That's what spring is for, right?
Absolutely, man. Yeah, I've already read two articles. Is it time for Bryce Eldridge to make the roster? Man, he had one game where he went 1-for-2 with a home run. And then, I think he got a single yesterday. I don't know what he did today. I haven't had a chance to really kind of catch up on today a whole lot, but man, what a, it's one of those things. It's going to take a lot for him to make the team. So you know, calm everybody down right off the bat. I think it's going to take like, he's going to have to pretty much in spring. I think he's going to have to hit like 380 maybe. Right. With like 10 home runs. And he's also going to have to play like gold glove caliber first base. Cause I mean, everything we've read so far, that's kind of the thing he's working on. He needs to be a better first baseman because they're not going to pull him up and be like, okay, you're our 20-year-old DH. I mean, that's not going to happen. He's going to play the field every day whenever he does come up. So, you know, there's a ways to go, but yeah, absolutely. Spring training. It's time for these discussions. You know what it's better than? It's better than, you know, 2-3 months ago trying to figure out where Juan Soto is going. Right? Try to figure out where Roki Sasaki will sign with the Dodgers. I mean, because we knew that was going to happen. So it's better than all of that, which is fantastic. I like it.
The one thing I've been thinking about is how Buster Posey as an executive, but is also someone who, it was only 15 years ago that he made his big league debut, and he probably felt that he was ready the year before when they brought him up at the end of the year. But at the same time, the timing was perfect because the team really needed him. That team needed him to be the spark for, you know, they were a month and a half, or no, actually 2 months into the season, and he became that spark to help them get through the rest of the year. I wonder what that person thinks about someone who's as young as Bryce is, knowing what he learned throughout not only college, but also, you know, in the year and a half or whatever it was that he played in the minors. Like, it is interesting, though. This is not Farhan Zaidi, who's more, and I'm sure Buster's worried about this as well, but more worried about starting the clock on his arbitration years than, you know, probably thinking about, okay, like, as a player, how do you deal with this? Is Bryce, you know, can Bryce handle this or can he not? And then we just let him marinate in the minors for a full year so he actually does get to be a professional baseball player. A little bit of a different conversation that you would have with Buster, I think, than you would have with Farhan.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, you look at, you know, throughout the years, how many times have we seen, you know, a player just like, especially in the Giants organization, jet stream to the majors. What did Will Clark have? 71 games in the minors, and then all of a sudden he's in the bigs.
But he did have like 4 years of college.
He did. Yeah, absolutely. He had the 4 years of college, and you couldn't stop him, and there was nobody blocking him at first base. I mean, Jack Clark was gone at that point, so it was just first base was Mike Aldretti or Will Clark, and I think the Giants kind of said, well, you know, he's tearing up the minors, let's go ahead and bring him up and let him do his thing. But when you're talking about Bryce Eldridge, I think you're talking about a little bit of marination. I mean, you gotta have some time for him in AAA. He had eight games in AAA last year at the end of the season. I mean, gosh, give him at least like, you know, a month or two. And the Giants are in, I don't think the Giants are in a spot. And for this, what I'm about to say, the argument really goes both ways. But the Giants aren't in a position where it's like, hey, let's bring up Bryce Eldridge because he is the difference between us winning the division and us finishing in third place. That's not going to be the case. I don't even know if Bryce Eldridge at this point would be the difference between, because again, we don't know what we have, but I don't think he'd be the difference between us not making the playoffs and making the playoffs, just the wild card spot. I think the Giants have a serviceable first baseman right now in Lamont Wade Jr. You know, he was injured quite a bit last year, but he had a 470 on base percentage before he got hurt. That's phenomenal. We know what kind of first base he plays. And so I think you're in a situation where you just have to say, look, there's no rush at this point, and you don't want to bring the guy up and have him thinking about defense the entire time and struggling defensively, and then have the possibility of that carrying over to at bats. Yeah, I don't think you can have that. So I think you've got to give him a little bit of time. Give him some time. We just talked about him. Give him some time to work with Will Clark at first base, JT Snow. You know, he needs to kind of get his legs under him a little bit, and he's ready to go though. I mean, on all of his interviews, he's pretty much said, "Hey, I, you know, if you don't think you're the best on the field, then you know that's you should be thinking otherwise because you know he's got some confidence, and I think that's great. So I think when he does come up, he's going to be confident in his abilities. But I think the Giants organization, especially Buster Posey, sees like, hey, man, we got to give you a little bit more time. We're okay at first base right now. We're not dying. And so, you know, let's give you some time.
I saw one guy in my sort of childhood lifetime of watching baseball who was absolutely ready just right out of high school knows Ken Griffey Jr.
Yeah.
So it can be done, but it's like the rarest of rare. You know, Bryce Harper, like if you think about Bryce Harper spent a full, his 18, year 18 season exclusively in the minors, and then the beginning of his year 19 season, and then he played he had 597 at bats as a 19-year-old with the Washington Nationals, and he hit 22 jacks and 340 on base percentage. So those are the two guys who, when you think about in the past, who has been able to do it. It's like Griffey Jr. He played a cup of coffee in the minors. I remember seeing him come through to San Jose. And Bryce Harper, like those are the guys you think about. Is Bryce Eldridge at that level in this early in his career? I mean, I would be surprised. And some of it is because he's so tall. And I'm just thinking of these pitchers who are just going to pound certain parts of the strike zone once they figure out what the weakness is. And then you said the fielding part of it, which is a big thing. I did hear the argument that the Giants don't have a real left-handed person to DH. And so that could be an argument for him to play, but then he loses all the repetitions at learning how to play first base in the minors. So I'm not sure if you want to do that either. I don't think there's really a rush on him unless you thought that you had a chance to do some big things and you were only missing and you were ruining this guy by making him play in the minors, which was kind of the argument with Buster, right? It was like, Buster's the best catcher. Well, we also had Benji, who was good. He wasn't an all-star, but he was solid, and you know, he was a valuable player. So you didn't need Buster to come in and replace him immediately. But at the same time, you know, Chris Bryant, same thing. Like, when are these guys coming up? They're ready. They don't need the minors, and then it's all about the clock thing. So they're gonna be able to have that discussion. And I just want to see what happens if he not fails, but if he struggles. And he may not struggle. If you put him in Double A or Triple A, he may just be fantastic, and then he just kind of pushes his way onto the roster. That would be great to see as well. At a spring training, not quite sure. And there are other guys who are fighting for their lives to make this squad and who are on the 40-man. And we'll talk about some of those guys in a bit. Another player today hit a jack, and our buddy Davis mentioned this in the chat. Jung-Hoo Lee went yard. He didn't quite go yard in the same way that Bryce Eldridge and Marco Luciano went yard. Like, those are no doubters. Like, I think the right fielder thought he was going to have a chance to catch Jung-Hoo Lee's ball, or at least play it off the wall, and that thing did go over. So, Jung-Hoo Lee, Marco Luciano. I know Grant McCray hit one over the weekend. Sam Huff, who we'll talk about in a little bit, hit one. So it's nice to see the ball kind of going out of the yard. The Giants, historically, in this era of Oracle Park, they have not been a crazy home run hitting team, though there were some teams in the late 90s and the early 2000s that did a lot of damage. But especially post 2010s, like, they just don't hit jack. So it's just kind of fun to see that ball fly out of the yard.
I think Verlander gave up a home run today, and he said, "Oh, my first time in Arizona." And he goes, "It ball flies a little different here than it does in Florida." So it's kind of a rude awakening. Yeah. So that's why I tell all the pitchers, don't sign in Arizona, although they've got that cush little air conditioning system with the roof closed and all of that, and you know, Diamondbacks Chase Field.
Interesting place to watch a game too.
You've seen a couple there.
Right? Yeah. When the roof is closed, it's like, it just feels like an indoor, like, park. Like, it feels like, you know, oh, are we here to What are those trampolines places where you just let the kids?
Oh yeah,
like crazy. Those right. Like, oh, are we having like the dodgeball tournament? Like in like that's what it feels like. In,
yeah,
indoors.
Kids birthday party.
Yeah, so interesting place to watch a game. But I just like the idea that, you know, here we are early spring and some of these guys look like they did some work in the offseason to especially to get ready for it. And
yeah,
it's exciting because sometimes spring training is really about getting your legs back. And it's like Logan Webb, for instance, last year, just like terrible. And his first start wasn't fantastic. I think he threw the same amount of strikes as he did balls, but then you get to see him feel really good. And now I think he's trying to throw more cutters and he's trying to get his feel around his stride and the length and everything. So fun stuff to see when it comes to that is, and all of that is concerned. What about the rotation here that I want to talk about? So I think they've pretty much said it's Logan, mm-hmm. then it's Verlander, then it's Robbie Ray, then it's Jordan Hicks. And then there's like a tug of war battle for this fifth spot, which to me, I just figured it was going to be Harrison. And then the other guys are just kind of trying to make things interesting. But it does look like Landon Roop or Hayden Birdsong, like they actually do have a chance. And some of it is because Harrison kind of started a little bit late because of, I think he had an illness that caused him to get started late in camp.
Yeah.
But you would, I just assumed that he was going to be the five guy. And that the rest of it was just kind of like, oh, you know, we'll see. These guys are, you know, we're going to need more than five. You're going to need six and seven and sometimes eight. So that's what they're vying for. But it does look like there's some competition for this fifth spot.
Yeah, definitely. I'm kind of putting all my chips in with Landon Roop. I like his curveball. I like his makeup. Watched him in a couple interviews and he's confident and I like that. So I, you know, kind of want him to be our number five guy. And I wouldn't be shocked if he is to start the season. But it's nice to have, you know, Birdsong and Kyle Harrison, Mason Black got kind of touched up today. Kaiwei Tang is another guy I think you need to look at and kind of, taking a look at him, he had a rough, I think he had like an 8 ERA last year. He was DFA'd, let go. Nobody picked him up, so he ended up back with the Giants. But he went to Spencer Bivens, and this is reported, I think, by Andrew Baggerly in The Athletic. He went to Spencer Bivens to find out where he trained because Bivens had that nice little comeback last year. And he ended up losing 15 pounds. Went to Tread Athletics in North Carolina. I guess he went ahead and signed up without even like looking into the place. He basically said, well, Spencer Bivens went there, good enough for me.
Yeah.
Signed up.
Any questions?
Not going to ask any questions. Lost 15 pounds, gained 2 miles an hour on his fastball, on his two seamer. So he's a guy, I think he only gave up one hit in like two innings the other day. So he's a guy I think you need to keep an eye on as well. Again, you got to have like 7-8 pitchers, starting pitchers. So because guys are going to go down during the season, you're going to need those spot starts. You know, you got a 42-year-old Justin Verlander. You got Robbie Ray still coming off of Tommy John, hasn't pitched a full season since coming off of Tommy John, just had a couple starts last year. So you're going to need those young arms to kind of carry you throughout the rest of the season. It's going to be interesting. I like spring because you always get a guy or two who'll pop out of nowhere. All of a sudden, you know, somebody's throwing upper 90s and the Giants could stash those guys away in AAA and just kind of wait to see what happens.
Do you think that the fact that Harrison is left-handed is anything? Because the way that the staff works right now is if it is Landon Roop or Birdsong, then you have four right-handers and only one left-hander. And he's smack dab in the middle of that rotation.
Yeah. Yeah, it is tricky. The Giants are short on lefties.
Yeah,
pretty just, much at this point. The,
yeah, just, you they, know. They're losing guys who Eric Miller had numbness in his fingers. Not that that means anything. It could be just something small, but yeah, there's not a lot to play with here for left-handed pitchers.
Yeah, so I mean that's the thing too. It is spring, so you are going to see guys who get DFA'd, or instead of getting DFA'd, they're going to need to be traded. So when you're talking about getting traded from another team because you don't want to DFA them, you want to get something for them. There are going to be maybe some lefties here and there you could pick off the pile. You kind of have to wait to see how things play out. And I'm sure with all the guys that Buster hired, you know, like Evans and everybody else and Manassian's there, all of those guys are just scouring daily to see what else they can come up with. Because if you can bring a guy into camp and just, I mean, now's the time. You got all the games, you got all the innings, you got everything you can give them, just kind of see what they've got. Work with Patrick Bailey, work with Bob Melvin, work with Buster. I mean, you know, work with all of these guys. And stockpile is really stockpile. I mean, you see what the Dodgers did with their bullpen, with their starting pitching. You have to stockpile. You have to have people. I mean, Bobby Miller got, you know, a line drive off of his head the other day. And you know how horrifying that is. You look at the, you know, the cold hard book part of it, and that's a starting pitcher that's now down, is probably going to miss 2 to 3 weeks, possibly 4 weeks with a concussion of spring training. So that's why you get those arms. You never know what's going to happen. Freak accident, arm accident, anything can happen. So
yeah, that's going to be something to watch. And the other thing about this, and you can't really predict this as it goes, but Verlander, not that much younger than us.
No.
Robbie Ray had hamstring issues last year. He right. of the tight pants, but also Tommy Maybe, John.
Was it the tight pants?
Those should help, though. They should help.
You're hamstring. Right. Yeah, it's a compression. Yeah, keep it tight.
But he's in his 30s. He's not a young dude. And then Jordan Hicks, obviously, you know, shut down at the end of the season. So you're just going to need multiple guys, and I'm interested to see. I would imagine that Roop, Birdsong, and Harrison all get starts this year. They probably all get more than 5 starts this year.
Oh, yeah.
And so, yeah, that's just something to watch.
Is that a tease? Is that a tease for in a couple of weeks when we do our preseason predictions?
Yeah, that might be a good one.
That could be a good one. I like that one. Yeah.
Another thing that we are watching, which is this situation going on with Tom Murphy. Tom Murphy, obviously, folks remember last year, the Giants had signed him, and Joey Bart was all out of options. And so they had to cut or trade Joey Bart, and Tom Murphy was the backup. And did he last a month? I don't remember how long he lasted before he got hurt. But they are basically doing the same dance with him this year. He comes into camp. He has issues with his oblique. And now he has a mid-back disc herniation. Whatever that means.
Yeah, that sounds brutal if you're a catcher, right?
And you got to be in the squat.
Yeah.
And he got an epidural, or he'll get an epidural injection. This is per Alex Pavlovich from earlier this morning. And then he'll be reevaluated in the next few weeks. So this Tom Murphy signing, unfortunately for him, he just, you know, can't shake the bug. But it makes me wonder, like, I don't know, maybe he should be part of Old Guy Alley here. Just because we don't have one this week. So Tom Murphy could be our Old Guy Alley this week. But he's not even that old.
Old Guy Alley. No, he's not that. I mean, he played in, what, 13 games last year? But he is 33. He's going to turn 34 during the season. I mean, for a catcher, 34 is like 39.
He's getting right up there, yeah.
Catcher years, not like cat years or dog years, it's catcher years. When you're 34 and you're catcher, let's see how many games he's played in the bigs altogether. 9 years, 327. So it's not like he's road worn or anything like
right.
that. 233 games in Seattle, 81 games in Colorado, and then 13 games with the Giants. But yeah, I mean, the Giants are thin at defensive catchers, but you also don't want to be throwing a guy out there just because he's making what, $5 million this year, $6 million.
Mm-hmm.
Throw a guy out there, you know, just because you're paying him in the catcher position when, you know, he's banged up, man. So I'm sure they'll do their evaluation. Got a couple guys and you know, on the roster. But I think the only 40 man guys are Bailey and Murphy, right? So things yeah. are going to have to be done. That's a type of situation where you can see a guy like that. They look into it, see like, okay, is there some sort of small procedure that can be done? Anything else that's going to knock him out for 40 to 50 days, you know, over a month. Then you put him on the 60 man. Then you get a guy like Huff, Stassi, you know, one of those guys, right? And then is it Stassi? Stassi is on the roster.
Max Stassi.
Is that
how it is?
Yes. I remember that because I had him on my fantasy team for maybe a week, and then I got him hurt because I picked him up.
Oh, man.
I apologize, Max. Sorry about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details. Your old or broken phone can let you down. But at Verizon, trade in any old phone from our top brands and get iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence with a new line on my plan. And iPad and Apple Watch Series 10. After all, you don't want your old phone to die on you when you're lost.
Perfect.
Or for your broken phone to glitch at the worst possible time.
Hey, can I get your number?
Oh. Trade in your old phone for a brand new iPhone 16 Pro, iPad, and Apple Watch. Visit Verizon.com today. Additional terms apply. Service plan required for Apple Watch and iPad.
Stay warm and save every day. All in the Kroger app. Get select Post cereal or Kroger peanut butter for $1.49 each with a digital coupon. And we've lowered prices. Save 15% or more on hundreds of items like Thomas Mini Bagels, Campbell's SpaghettiOs, and more. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Yeah, so Sam Huff from the Rangers. Bruce Bochy, for some reason, calls him Herman Munster.
Have you ever? So I read that story the other day, and I remember that because I, as a kid, the Munsters, Leave It to Beaver, any of the black and white shows, I loved them.
Oh, yeah.
I remember when Herman Munster tried out for the Dodgers in one of the episodes, and he hit the home run, and the trot was, you know, he's Frankenstein, basically, and he's running like that. So that's a fantastic story. I like that.
But he hit a jack as well, and he got their first challenge on a pitch. Was it Root pitching?
It was, yes.
Roop was pitching. The umpire called something a ball. They thought it was a strike. Roop said that he had sort of forgotten that there was the challenge system, so he was just kind of ticked off. And Huff saw that he was ticked off, and then Huff also thought it was actually a strike, so they did the challenge, and they won the challenge. And I also read that Lamont Wade, because he's got a great eye.
Oh, yeah.
And so he thought, he's like, I should challenge this, but he did not want to be the first one to do it, so he decided not to.
Yeah. I like there wasn't there a story that yesterday, I think it was, Logan Webb challenged a pitch. And then I think Patrick Bailey had to tell him, hey, look, man, there is no, there aren't cameras here. We don't have
any. Oh, because of Scottsdale. Yeah.
You're in Scottsdale.
Yeah. Anyway. Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right. It's completely forgot.
That's what's kind of weird to me is because, you know, you think of Major League Baseball as this rich league, you know, they're paying guys $500 million to play baseball. And so they want to test this ABS system and they don't put cameras in every park. And now there may be some reason why in Scottsdale that they can't do it. Maybe, you know, for whatever reason, but it's just kind of funny that you're like, oh yeah, I'm sure that's what Logan Webb was thinking, right? He's like,
oh yeah,
why they should be everywhere. They want to test this thing. They should be at every stadium. And unfortunately,
my guess is that they probably decided a little too late that they were going to do this and they had to get the ABS systems from minor league ballparks and they just grabbed, like, hey, let's grab 13 setups, reset them up here, get them calibrated. Or there's a chance that they don't crank these things out fast enough. You know, they don't, these are specialized cameras, specialized systems. So maybe the company just didn't have them on hand. They're like, hey, we've outfit every minor league ballpark in America. We don't have enough to outfit, you know, 30 more ballparks. So, or I guess it's less than that because a lot of them share. So, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of crazy. I'd love to see it implemented this year, but I know it's not going to. They already said it. If they do, it's going to be next year. So,
the other thing I found interesting is last year, Bryce Eldridge, obviously because he's really tall, he said that he had a couple of at-bats at Sacramento? I can't remember.
I'm not sure. I'd have to look it up.
But it was at one of the minor league parks. He said that it was very early, so I guess they have to create a profile for every hitter.
That's right. He only got 8 at bats in AAA. So yeah, I think in all of AAA and all the AAA ballparks, they just didn't have his profile.
Yeah. So they don't have your profile. So do they just like take the average? Like how do they analyze his?
So it's 53% of the strike zone. So they take your height and it's a certain percentage of your height, right?
Yeah.
Then 53% of the strike zone is above the belt and 17%, something like that, is below. But see, that number doesn't add up. So I haven't seen – John Boy did a video of it today. He actually took construction paper and made Altuve's strike zone based on the information and made Judge's strike zone based on the information and then stuck them on a wall together. It was pretty hilarious. But yeah, so that, and I like that too, that they're individualized strike zones,
right?
Because they pretty much have to be. I mean, that's baseball, right? We were always told when we were kids, you can crouch down as far as you want to. You can make the tiniest strike zone when you're up at the plate. But as soon as you swing that bat, the umpire sees your strike zone when you swing and that's what he's going by. So yeah, it's, I did write down the 53%, 17%. I don't get it. It doesn't add up to 100. So I don't know where I saw those numbers and I wrote them down.
The whole thing is super, super interesting. And I think, you know, just like with every replay system, it's all about how often you can do it. Does it take away time from the game? Because what is the main interest in baseball right now, which is keeping the times down? You don't want to add time to a scenario, right? Like the current replay system that they have at, you know, plays at the plate or whatever. It's like, it's pretty quick, but it, you know, does the umpires have to go run off and go to one of the dugouts and put on a headset. And so it could add some time to the game.
It's some of them take a long time too. Some of them, I feel like you should be given 2 minutes. If you can't figure it out in 2 minutes, I mean, even that's a lot. If you can't figure it out in 90 seconds, the play stands. There should be a clock that just, it runs, can't figure it out, play stands, that's the end.
I just don't understand why New York even needs the umpires to sit there and talk to them. Why didn't New York just, you know, have that decision to the PA system, and then that's that? Like, why do the umpires even have to be involved?
No, nobody can text the umpire. It's 2025, right? I mean, you could text them. You could FaceTime them.
Yeah.
There's many other things you could do.
Yeah, they should all wear Apple Watches so they could check their heart rate during moments of the game, too. So, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, this catcher scenario, this catcher, however this shakes out, what it tells me is that catcher depth is rough. Patrick Bailey is a young man, thankfully, and if Kruko has his way, he's going to be in better shape than he was last year, which is funny because we didn't know that he was in bad shape. I don't remember hearing that he was like not in great shape or whatever during the season, but Kruko believes that that's part of the reason why he kind of fell off at the end of the year.
Well, he came in. I remember the whole talk when he came in to camp last year. I think there were photos of him, and everybody's like, man, he's put on a lot of weight. And he said, well, I put it on because I want to carry this, and I'm going to lose X amount during the season.
Mm-hmm.
So who knows? I mean, offensively, he's never been a monster in the minors, so I don't think that's that big of a deal offensively if he falls off, because there's not much to fall off from.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Not a catcher, and I know these organizations have massive amount of professionals who deal with nutrition, you know, body mechanics and health and everything else. So I find it hard to believe that during a season somebody's, a Major League Baseball player could lose enough weight and or just not be in shape after a half of a season where they completely fall off. I mean, there's too much at their disposal now to be able to avoid that. That's just my thought on that.
Do you remember catcher from the early 2000s? His name was Bobby Estalea.
Oh yeah.
He was a jacked up, like, big dude.
He was a big dude. Yeah, yeah.
And
this was the steroid era, right?
Yes, and I assume there was some of that going on, though I will not make that claim on him.
I think he actually admitted it himself.
So. Okay, so, yeah, but yeah. When they asked him, like, how do you, like, what's your diet like? What he said was basically, I have chicken breasts that I just have sitting in a marinade. And every meal, I just grab a few, grill them, and eat them. And so he's basically protein loading. And that's what he said. Yeah. Obviously, I'm sure there was other stuff going on. But what if, like, the story is, like, Patrick Bailey, like, he just had, like, Rice Krispie treats just sitting in his locker room after every game, and he's just mowing them down. Like, that was his version of the chicken breast. Then Kruko, yeah, right. Then I believe in Kruko. I believe Kruko's right. I actually don't think that. But they just could be kind of funny. Like, he's, like, this secret, like, sweet tooth, and he's like, got to cut down on the sweets after games.
And the amount of money these guys make, there are people that tell them what to eat. I mean, here's the recovery meal. Here's the pre-meal. Here's the this. Here's the that. I mean, they've got people to do that because there are large investments in these players. Mm-hmm. I try to eat as well as I can, but, you know, I go off the wagon here and there, but I still, you know, I'd say like 90% of the time I'm as good as I can be, maybe 80%. But if I had somebody like that at my disposal,
oh yeah,
to say I'm bored of boneless, skinless chicken breast, can you find me some other lean protein meal that I'm going to enjoy? I mean, you can go crazy with that type of stuff, but, yeah, I don't know. Off season's a different thing, though. I don't know if they have these guys at their disposal when it comes to that.
So I already played the old guy alley thing. I don't have to play it again, but I was just thinking about it because, you know, dieting in of itself is pretty hard. You have to be very disciplined to kind of do what you want, right? If you track your calories or you track your macros, that's a way to stay disciplined. Some people don't. Some people just go, oh, I stay away from this and I mostly eat that, and it generally works. So my friends and I had scheduled for Friday to go to get sushi. And, you know, I am roughly between, you know, 30 and 50 carbs a day. Like, that's kind of where I try and sit. Sometimes I go a little bit over that. But that is where I normally sit, like, in my normal diet. And so I knew, you know, you have some rolls of sushi, you know, I'm probably closing in on, like, 180 to 200 grams of carbs, you know, just on that meal alone. So, you know, you kind of stay away from any carbs the whole day, and that last meal, you just kind of go for it. But what I also have done in the past, and I think this probably helps me kind of stay disciplined, and you don't really go crazy with staying so low carb, but I kind of allow myself to flip-flop the macros, because you stay high in protein, high in fat, and low in carbs generally. And on like one day a week or 2 days every 2 weeks, I flip the fat and the carbs because I know that I'm going to do something. So I just take advantage of it and go, okay, for these two days, I'll flip the carbs and I'll have a really high carb and really low fat. And I heard, I don't know the science behind it, but I've seen some dietitians say it's actually good to do because you want to allow your body to use fuel food for fuel in different ways, like in different kind of formats. So, but then I always go back after that. I have those 2 days and I go back. And what is very easy to do is when you have freedom and you kind of give yourself freedom on your diet to, let's say, eat way more carbs than usual, that will that you have in the other days of the week when you don't allow that, it just kind of leaves you. You're like, oh, I haven't had this in a long time. I'm high carb day, no biggie. And you just kind of like, you allow yourself to binge a little bit more. So that is like, imagine being his age, you know, what is he, like 23, 24?
Right.
And he's an athlete, so his body's burning so many calories. And he's just like, yeah, like, why not? Like, you know, now we're making assumptions on what his diet is. I'm just saying every young person who's an athlete, like, I'm sure there's like, you know, they just probably think they're indestructible and they can kind of eat whatever they want. And that was us when we were that age too. So,
yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, we all find out you can't do that forever.
You turn like 30 and then things change, and then you turn 40 and you're like, why is there such a difference between the year 39 and the year 40? Like, what goes on in that 1 year that just changes your whole dynamic as metabolizing food? What the hell?
Well, that and I feel like, and then especially after you turn 50, you feel like everything you eat inflames every part of your body. So it's like I have a beer, I feel inflamed. My joints hurt. Everything hurts. Have some water. Now I feel better. Yeah, it's a battle. Constant battle.
Yeah, no, I hear you. All right, let's get to some more spring notes. Is there anything that you read or that you saw that was of interest? We mentioned Luciano in the beginning. He did hit that bomb today, which was, if you haven't been on Giants Twitter or Giants Blue Sky, yeah, go watch that video, because that swing was beautiful. And that's just like, we just assume that's what he was going to do when he was coming up. So it's great to see that swing.
Yeah.
And I just hope for the best for this kid. But was there anything else that you saw in some of the spring training stuff?
You know, basically, I haven't seen much in the spring training stuff. I mean, Jung-Hoo Lee's swing today was fantastic. The fact that I think he made a diving catch the other day as well. I'm very excited. I know we did our players to watch last week.
Yeah.
But you know, My eye is always on Jung-Hoo Lee because he was a very exciting signing for us last season, and having missed as much as he did and then coming into this season, just we want to see him have 162 game season and see what he can do. But yeah, it's pretty much Luciano in left field, that ball that he dropped. I guess he played a nice one off the wall, but then later on that game, there was a ball that was hit down the left field line and he went after it and he just kind of stopped and it dropped like 7 feet away from him in foul territory, just kind of gave up on it. And everybody was like, why didn't he go? You can hear on the broadcast too. I heard one guy in the stands. He goes, why didn't he go after that? Or why didn't he catch that? So little things like that. Kind of, I'm watching defense. I'm watching pitching. Because that's who we're going to be this year, right? We're going to be a pitching defense, playing good baseball, playing station to station good baseball, taking extra bases when the opportunity arises. So that's kind of what I've had my eye on, but nothing has stood out. I haven't had enough games yet to look and say.
Like, and we haven't seen one on TV yet either, which is
right. Okay. And I think there's another KNBR broadcast tomorrow, Tuesday or Wednesday, because we're playing against the A's. So that's going to be a KNBR broadcast. Those two, I listened to those two over the weekend while I was doing stuff around the house. So it's always good. I mean, Dwayne Kuiper and John Miller on a weekend, you know, talking it up and, you know, giving a little bashing to Darren Chan too in the background. our friend Darren Chan.
when we were back there last summer, yeah. DC, he remember when he spilled his drink all over?
Yeah.
And so
I felt so bad.
Well, there's not a lot of room back there for one.
No. Yeah.
And I actually, you know, DC probably never made this public, but you know, we'll just he will not be embarrassed. I don't think
nothing broke.
No. Yeah. So, but I was like a little worried because there's like a bunch of gadgets back there, but a lot of them are like unplugged. So like it's all having a lot of old tech, but he said that was the first time that he ever did that.
So we should not go up there again. That's
what you're saying. I wonder if, because, you know, it's a small place, the broadcast booth is a little small, and they have tons of different tech back there, and he's got buttons to push and things to get ready for. But I wonder if just the two of us being in that room just made it feel even smaller to DC, and he was just like, oh, left-handed the big gulp or what, the coffee or whatever was the thing.
And when we first walked in too, there was another woman up there standing up, hanging out with John Miller and Dave Fleming. And she was just hanging out. And, you know, I guess she goes in there often. When you go in and there's a small booth, now all of a sudden there's six people in this booth, and it's not a six person booth. It is tiny. So, but that was a blast. As a matter of fact, this picture behind me, that's the game we were at. And that was beforehand. We got to walk out on the field. I mean, it just did so much for us that day.
I need to remember if I had any, if I took any video of Matt Chapman taking ground balls. I should put that up on the YouTube page.
I took a little bit, and I think you did as well. Yeah. Because right when we got out there, he was wearing his Giants Wu-Tang shirt, taking some ground balls.
I wonder if we got any video of Matt Williams giving us the stank eye. Like, what are you guys doing out here,
man? I have a picture of Matt Williams giving us the stank eye. I do have that. And I do have a video of Camilo Duvall warming up by throwing a baseball as hard as he can against the padding.
Oh, yeah.
Here, right over there, and down the left field line.
Okay, last thing, and I'm cribbing this from Locked On Giants on Twitter, LO_SF Giants. And I imagine Ben is running that account. I'm not sure.
I would imagine.
I would imagine it's his podcast. But they put up a tweet. It was a poll tweet that said, which young Giants position player, not named Bryce Eldridge, are you most looking forward to watching develop this season? And there was a list of four. And I'll read the four to you, and you tell me who you are looking most forward to watching develop this season. Tyler Fitzgerald, Marco Luciano, Luis Matos, or Elliot Ramos?
That's a tough one because Ramos, I think we're all watching. I think it has to be Luciano. It really does because he's such a high draft pick. Mm. Not draft pick, but such a high signing, international pick.
Yeah.
Gave him a lot of money. One of the first big ones, international signing the Giants have had.
I don't think he ever hit number one baseball prospect status, but he was in the top five.
Oh yeah, 100%. And so watching him move to the outfield and playing the outfield in AAA at Sacramento, I think that's where, I'm probably going to be checking the box score daily, probably going to be checking to see how is he doing defensively. Because, man, if you and the home run he crushed, was it today? He hit it, crushed a home run off of the batter's eye. And I think they said it was about 430, 440. So if you can get a guy like that to either be your full-time DH or be comfortable enough in the outfield where he can relax at the plate, you all of a sudden have another bat in your lineup that you weren't necessarily expecting. And it's not like he's going to be a guy who just comes out of nowhere. I mean, he is somewhat expected to be an offensive player, but the expectations are now way lower after last season.
Mm-hmm.
So I think I'm watching him because if we can plug him somewhere into the lineup and Bryce Eldridge comes up, you got a really exciting lineup up and down 1 through 9. So that's what I'm looking for. Luis Matos would probably be my second pick. I love Tyler Fitzgerald, but I don't really have my eye on the guys on the major league roster as much. I know they're there. I know they're going to perform. We need Ramos to take a step up from his second half last season. Same with Fitzgerald. Both of their second halves last year were rough. But I think, you know, Luciano and then Matos, because of the minor league aspect and because of the they're in your back pocket as a secret weapon aspect, I think that's why I probably am most excited to watch those two guys.
Yeah, I'm with you with my choice as well. And you know what I thought about was the problem with these spring games is if you're not listening to them on KNBR, or maybe I don't even know if MLB has the at bat thing going on where you can track every pitch or whatever.
I think they do, yeah.
But the thing is, you know, when we retire from our jobs, I think we need to be that for the community.
Yeah.
Like we need to be the eyes of the spring training because some of these questions that you're asking, I want to see Luciano. How he handles left field.
Right.
You're not really going to get a lot of that like immediately. You're going to get it if they write about it later in the day or, you know, if you listen to the game on the radio or whatever, but it's just hard to find this information this early in spring. And, you know, to be a fly on the wall in spring training, specifically this year, not every year is interesting, but this year, they're sort of at this interesting crossroads and Buster Posey's, you know, doing the things that he can, which is bring back some of the vets, you know, that he trusts and that he played with and that he knows are winners and reestablish that winning identity and culture and all of those things. Like this would have been a fun spring training to go check out just because of all those things.
Yeah. We'll get there. I think you and I will get down there. You know, I'm getting to the age where I'm liking flying more than driving. So.
Yeah, especially to Arizona for me. That's a rough one.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Though, we're going down to Disneyland in a couple of weeks, and we got some $49 flights.
There you go.
Let's do that. I don't want to drive.
I'm going to Vegas in about 7 weeks.
Mm.
And, you know, because I've mentioned this because I got the car. I'm like, oh, I'll just drive. I've only driven to Vegas once, and that was when me and my buddy Ed had turned 21, and we just drove down there because my cousin was out there, and so we drove and just like not even thinking, just like let's just go and figure it out, you know. Back when you had to use like maps and stuff.
Yeah, right.
and they weren't on your phone and you had to read maps. And so I'm going to take the roadie to Vegas just because I've like haven't taken the car out in that way. And like in my mind, it's like, how many podcasts can I get through and how many audiobooks? And, you know, and at some point in hour five of the drive, and I'm like, oh, God, there's still like 3 hours left or whatever. I'm sure I'll be hurting a little bit. But I also like the time. It's, you know, when you drive, if you have a commute or whatever, it's also good thinking time. Not necessarily that you can't think otherwise, but because I've had so many crazy commutes, that's how I sort of use it as well. But so I am taking that long drive and we'll see. I'll have to circle back and say whether it was worth it or not. But I'm looking forward to it because my car, you know, I've had this car now since summer of last year. It was the game that we went to is where it got my other car got stolen. And I've barely put 2,100 miles on the new car. So I just really don't. I'm not driving a whole lot out here because I work from home. So it'll be time to put some miles on that thing just on.
Sure. Is that one from where you're at? Do you have to go all the way down through L.A. and then cut over?
I think so.
Ooh, yeah, that's a long one. From here in Reno to Vegas, you could do it in 7 hours.
I mean, you know what? I think, I think it's like 8 hours. Like, so it's not like from an hour's perspective, it wasn't as intimidating as Arizona, because that one is like 11 or 12 hours when I would go
to my
parents.
We've done that from here. And that was about 11 hours because you got to hit Vegas. And then from Vegas, you just cruise on through to Phoenix and woo, man.
Yeah, that one's a long one. You really have to be of sound mind to get that thing done and not get frustrated. So,
oh, yeah.
And it's absolutely. Like all the, I mean, a lot of these drives, but you're just like driving through desert.
Yes.
It's just like,
that's all it is.
It's like that trick where you're like, am I awake? Am I, because like nothing has changed. You're like, right. I have to pinch myself because I don't see anything changing for the last hour. Like what's going on? So,
yeah, absolutely.
All right. So, we'll be back next week. And then is it the week after that you have off?
It is going to be let's see. We leave the 19th, so Monday is after that. We
got a couple more shows, a few more shows before you take your vacation, and then I'll figure out who to chat with that week while you're gone. But all right, that is it from here. If you are watching us on YouTube, the like and subscribe is very helpful for us. If you are listening on podcasts and you haven't subscribed to the feed, I will say downloads are doing pretty well at this point of the year. We are definitely, you know, slowly but surely improving in the amount of downloads, which is awesome because you'll want to see things grow. You don't want to see them shrink. So that's a good thing for us, is to see things grow, albeit slowly. But the way that it will help us grow faster is like and subscribe and rating on Apple Podcasts and Spotify. And Adam Carolla used to say, tell a friend to tell a friend. That's how we're going to grow this thing. So I like that one.
I like that.
Even though I don't listen to Carolla anymore because his politics went super nutty, but tell a friend to tell a friend is always a good one. If you tell a friend about this network, if they're a Bay Area sports fan, I think they'll like a lot of what we do. So, all right.
Absolutely.
We're done from here. So we will see you next week. For Brad, I am Double G. See you when we see you. Peace out.
Peace.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are now boarding Group A. Please have your boarding passes ready to scan. If your phone is cracked, old, or was chewed up by your Chihuahua travel companion, please refrain from holding up the line. Instead, go to Verizon and trade in any phone in any condition from one of their top brands for the new Samsung Galaxy S25 Plus with Galaxy AI and a watch and tab on any plan. Only on Verizon.
With new line on my plan. Service plan required for watch and tab. Additional terms apply. See Verizon.com for details.
At Kroger, an annual Boost membership just got even better. Now you can choose from Disney Plus with ads, Hulu with ads, or ESPN Plus on us when you sign up. Plus, enjoy unlimited free delivery, double fuel points, exclusive offers, and free items. Sign up for a Boost membership today. It's an easier way to save, including new streaming options to relax with while we deliver your groceries. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Restrictions apply. See site for details.